Hi, and welcome to Community. We hope you've all been well and listening back to season one. But surprise, we're doing a Beyonce and dropping an episode.
We're not back with a whole new season just yet. We're actually deep amidst the planning and research phase right now. This episode, though, is part of Digital Pride, which takes place April 29th to the 5th of May, created by Gay Star News. The focus of this year's online Pride Festival is to tackle loneliness and isolation, which, unfortunately, is far more common in the LGBTQ plus community. And so that's what we're going to be exploring today. Now, yeah, trigger warning time, it is a bit of a depressing topic, but I promise this little episode is not going to be an entire dirge. We are going to be hearing about some, troubling things, but also in true community style, we're going to be giving you some very proactive things of how to manage these, how to look after each other. So yeah, we're going to try and present it in an all-round positive way.
In this episode, Lex and I will be sharing facts about loneliness and isolation within the queer community. We'll also be joined by Switchboard, a charity that operates a telephone service for LGBTQ individuals. We've been incredibly touched by all the listeners that have reached out to us and shared their personal stories. So today, Lex and I will be sharing our own personal experiences.
One of the compounding facts of loneliness is how little we talk about it. Statistically speaking, the majority of us will experience it at some point in our lives. But it's our inability to talk about it means that we rarely address it well. So we're going to take the first step, and as Kristania says, ask each other about when we feel lonely. So hopefully, we'll encourage you to have conversations with the people around you, and that way, we can all start to connect a bit better. But in true community style, first off, some good old research, a great interview. Loneliness. It comes in many forms. At its heart, it's an emotional response to isolation, typically depicted as having few social connections, friends, or close familial relationships, which results in a lack of connectivity and communication. But as many of us know, loneliness can be way more than that. You can feel lonely even when surrounded by people. As such, loneliness is an emotional state that can trigger and cause physical symptoms and issues.
Scientifically, the hormone and chemical changing effects triggered by emotional response to loneliness has been linked to all sorts of illnesses.
Depression.
Heart disease and stroke.
Decreased memory and cognitive function.
Heightened stress levels.
Loss of libido.
A research piece in 2010 even found that loneliness was detrimental to your long-term health.
Then a follow-up study in 2015 found it actually increased your risk of death by 29%.
The list goes on and the impact is clearly huge. It's believed that we are in the middle of a worldwide loneliness epidemic, and yet it's a subject that isn't spoken about, thereby further increasing the feelings of isolation and shame that trigger loneliness, creating a toxic spiral.
What is meant by the description, a loneliness epidemic, is that for the first time in history, more people are living alone than ever before. A distancing and change to the fabric and nature of society, at a time of ever-increased tech innovation, has created this ironic paradox where we've never had more ability to connect and interact. We're also getting far less from it. In Britain, some 9 million people, when surveyed by the Red Cross, said that they were always or often lonely. For context, 9 million people, that's more than the population of any city in the UK, surpassing London by 1 million, and it's more than the entire population of Scotland and Wales combined.
Unfortunately, studies also show that not only are we in a worldwide epidemic, but that queer people are more likely to experience and suffer from loneliness. Age UK, a charity focusing on care for the elderly, found that the brunt of this, unfairly, is held by other LGBT people who are especially vulnerable and susceptible to loneliness, as they are more likely to be single, live alone, have fewer social relationships, and less contact with family. In the first few years of its service, Switchboard provided help to people coming out after the 1967 partial decriminalisation of homosexuality. Remember, you can go back to our history episode in season one if you need more context. It also helped to signpost and guide people to the newly developing gay scene growing in metropolitan areas. In the 1980s, it was the leading source of reliable information on the then new and unknown disease of HIV. and continue to be the most up-to-date and reliable source of information throughout the AIDS crisis. They even helped set up the UK's leading HIV and AIDS charities, Terence Higgins Trust and National AIDS Manual. Switchboard continues to field calls, but now also runs an email and instant messaging service for people who feel isolated or who need someone to talk to and be understood.
Our interview for this episode is with Natasha Walker, co-chair of Switchboard LGBT Plus Helpline, a telephone service for the LGBT community. It was founded on March 4th, 1974, operated by volunteers for 5 hours every evening in a small room above a bookshop in the King's Cross station.
My name's Tash Walker and I am one of the co-chairs of Switchboard, the LGBT Plus Helpline, which turned 45 years this year. If we look at the calls that we're getting now in comparison to the calls we got in the 70s, the 80s and the 90s, you will see changes in the political climate and legislation, cultural and societal attitudes. But what really does stay the same are the same themes of isolation, loneliness and shame. I did some work on our logbooks, which are a written record of the calls that we've taken from 1974. And I found a call in 75, one in 86, I think, and another one in 2003, all from someone questioning their sexuality or gender identity. And every single one of them, like, citing themes of loneliness and shame. And those are the calls we're still getting today. We're all born into a heteronormative society, and we're immediately born into something that we can't see ourselves within. And if that doesn't create an environment for loneliness, then I don't know what is. People are born into families who are very accepting, families who are not accepting. Even if you're born into a family who is accepting in a secure, loving environment, you know, you step outside your front door, you look at what's on the TV, and you can't see yourself or something that feels like what you are, representation, role models. That is an incredibly lonely world to be in. I know that people who are LGBT plus have this, which then leads to bigger issues such as mental health, but that all feeds into things like accessing the health services and people feeling isolated from that. You know, and I think one thing that we always find being based in London and all of us that live here, there's a really great community here, but you know, not everyone lives in London, and even the people that do live in London might not feel accepted within that community or their right place within that community, or even just have access points. So I think, yeah, many a reason for loneliness. I think it's something that we really should be tackling and are a lot within the LGBT sector, but we're battling against things like the government cuts in funding, which saw amazing organisations like PACE, which is a mental health counselling service, an LGBT one, having to shut. It's just like, what are we doing here? What are we battling against? But there are reports coming out, and Stonewall did a report at the end of last year about mental health in the LGBT plus community, which the government are looking at and listening to. But I don't know, it's never an uphill battle. But things like this, having this conversation here, is really important just to highlight it.
What advice would you give people that feel lonely or isolated?
I would say that you're not alone, that you may feel isolated, and that can be emotional or physical. But organisations like Switchboard, for example, we're always here, and there's always someone at the other end of the line to talk to you over the phone, online or via email. There's a lot of support that people feel like they can get from the internet, but actually that can be a really isolating and lonely place. It's sort of like a pseudo comfort, pseudo conversation. But actually speaking to someone on the phone, just hearing someone's voice who's gone through something that you've gone through. All of our volunteers identify as LGBTQ+. So if you contact us, then you'll be speaking to someone who maybe hasn't had the same story as you or life, but knows what it feels like to be other than our heteronormative normative world. But I think it's about ensuring that person doesn't feel lonely. How you do that is very complicated and depends entirely on their situation. But you know, with the fact that we are here to support them and make them feel less alone, I think talking is the best thing.
So like basically go back to basics and just speak to someone like a real human on the phone or in person if you can. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, advert right there for Switchboard.
Hey, but hire me for your voiceover.
yeah, I think I think, yeah, not everyone likes to talk on the phone, yeah. But we have an instant messaging service or email as well. And yeah, I think it's about reaching out to someone who is going to listen to you, who's not going to judge you, who's not going to tell you what to do, who's just going to let you talk and feel heard and supported. I think just giving that person space to talk and to be heard and to be listened to, that creates an environment which is without isolation, and knowing that they can call back or we can refer them on to places or other support groups maybe in their area. For people who are looking to support their friends who or family who they think are lonely or LGBT plus, or just exploring that as well, I think that's a really good area, because lots of what we're talking about here is this word of loneliness, which can be used in so many different ways. And a big definition of loneliness is isolation and feeling like there is no one like you around, or that your friends and family will judge you, or just questioning or feeling isolated in your emotions and your feelings that you have got internally. So I think supporting friends and family and knowing and letting them know that it's okay to talk to you about anything is really important as well. But yeah, I think I could talk about it all day. But I think never feel alone, because you're not alone, and always look to reach out and talk to someone. And you don't have to say anything. You can just call up and hear that person at the end of the phone, and we get that. We have quite a few silent calls, and they can last for 5 minutes, and we'll sort of do like a tapping thing, you know, tap once if you're still there. And you know, there's certainly been calls that I've taken where after 3 or 4 minutes the person starts talking. It just takes that pressure off of feeling alone, that there is someone picking up the phone.
And so you mentioned looking out for those around us. Are there any trigger warnings or telltale signs that we should look out for in the people around us to kind of think, oh, I think that person might be isolating themselves or might feel lonely?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good question. And that's one that can probably cross all people and all mental health issues. But I think if someone's feeling lonely or isolated and is starting to withdraw, then let's say you work with them, they start working from home more often, or they don't want to come out anymore, they become less frequent in messages. It's really important to maintain communication with someone and just check in with them. Just say, oh, hey, so-and-so, I haven't heard from you. How are you doing? Don't necessarily have to invite them to go for a walk or a drink or whatever, but just saying, hey, I'm thinking of you. That can be really, really powerful. I think so much more powerful than we realize, because it's just you saying, I care. And I think that you can never say that too much. Well, maybe you can, but never say it too much. If you're worried about someone, just let them know that you're worried about them, but on their terms, and don't force them to talk unless they're ready.
How can someone like me volunteer at Switchboard? How do I get involved?
So the best way to get involved is to go onto our website. You'll see a volunteer button on the homepage, switchboard.lgbt. Just to give you a bit of background on what being a volunteer looks like, we've got two different types of volunteers. We've got listening volunteers and support volunteers. So listening volunteers, I mean, the clue's in the name. You're the people that answers the phone, you reply to the emails, and you answer people on instant messaging. So that kind of requires about 18 hours a quarter. That works out to about 3 hours every 2 weeks. So it's really, really manageable, but there is quite a rigorous process and some decent training involved to get to that point. Because it is really important. You're the front line. And often people we speak to, they come from all different situations, but there's a lot of training and awareness that needs to happen in how you support that person. Then you've got our support volunteers, who are people who don't answer the phones or speak to our service users, but they help run the training sessions, or they will help run the website or do our social media. So basically, if you've got a skill, we need it.
If you want to contact Switchboard, people in the UK can do so by calling them on 0300 330 0630. They're open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day, or you can visit their website to access their instant messaging and email services. Just go to switchboard.lgbt.
And hey, they are a volunteer-led charity, so why not check out the volunteering section on their website? As you've heard, they are a fantastic charity who are still in great demand. Giving back is a beautiful way to feel connected, so you'll not only be helping others, but you'll be helping yourself too. Yeah. And now comes the part of the episode where we have to strip off and let it all hang out. Are you going first or am I?
You can ask me questions first. I'm easy, Lex. Go for it.
Okay. When do you actually feel lonely?
That is a big question. I think I feel, it depends on the situation, but at times I feel lonely at social events. So I'm not very good at networking, but with like the growth of community and with AZ, I have had to put myself into situations where I would be in a group of people that I wouldn't normally interact or speak to. And those situations for me can feel quite isolating because sometimes people don't look like you or you don't look a certain way. They don't want to speak to you. And that can feel a bit rubbish. Like it can be feel quite shit because you, it's like a little bit of rejection as well because you don't fit into their ideals of like their beauty ideals or whatever it is. And then other times I feel lonely, like if my friends are doing something and I'm not involved. So like I suffer from a little bit of FOMO at times, which is something I'm trying to unlearn because it's just not realistic to go to everything. I can't go to everything all the time. And it's weird, like, I don't even know if this makes sense, but like when I feel lonely, I want to be alone. I don't know how to explain it, but like if I do feel lonely, I'll just be like, you know, I just want to stay here by myself anyway because I don't want to be around other people and like give off this energy. Because when you are with other people, you are exchanging energies and like auras and stuff. I'm not very spiritual, but I do believe in that kind of thing. Like, so when I feel rubbish, I don't want to be around other people either. Like, I just want to be left alone.
See, that's where I'm different. When I feel rubbish, I don't necessarily have the energy to actually interact with people, but I don't want to be alone because that means that I will just contemplate and catastrophize and like overthink things. So my ideal is like have someone with me but don't necessarily have to talk to them.
Interactions, human interactions can be really draining for me, like super draining. So yeah, I just have to be by myself. I can't at times be everything to everyone. I think also like that we're human, that people know me as being one way. And when I'm not that way, they might be like, oh, what's wrong with you? That's really out of character for you. So I just rather just stay to myself, even though I'm quite happy for my friends to come to me at any time, however they feel. And I always reinforce that when I speak to my friends, I'm like, whatever you're going through, make sure you call me, make sure you text me, don't be by yourself. But then I'm not taking my own advice, essentially. But that's something I gotta work on.
Do you think that loneliness and race interplay?
100%. So events that I'm going to, yeah, there might be black people in the room, there might be queer people in the room, but they might not be black and queer, or the black people are in the minority. I can always tell when people don't want to speak to me. Like, we're human. Like, you can tell when someone doesn't like you, you can tell when someone doesn't speak to you. Yeah, I think race does play a part in it. Which, yeah, I don't really, yeah. But race plays a part in everything. You ready?
As I'll ever be.
They're not that bad. Don't worry. What was your first experience of loneliness and isolation? And what was the first time you can think back to that you felt isolated?
I've felt lonely in relationships, both friendship-wise and romantic relationships. I can remember a relationship that I had with a friend, which was a good relationship for about 5 years. And then the last two years of this relationship became increasingly toxic and they stopped any reciprocal support. And to be fair to them, they weren't in a great place in their own life as well. But they also, it felt like they were no longer happy for me for anything like that. And I felt this chasm grow between us and I didn't know how to cross it to get back to them and to get back to our friendship. And I felt so disconnected from this person who had once been such a root of joy and friendship and sociableness. That's not a word, but we'll go with it. And so the breakdown of that friendship I found incredibly isolating and made me feel very lonely. But actually it also led to me really reappraising what standards I was holding myself to and the standards that I would hold other people in my life to. And I was also, unhelpfully in the time, in a relationship, a romantic relationship, which was one part wonderful and so supportive and so nurturing, but also, yeah, I felt quite lonely and isolated in that romantic relationship. Mm. And we lived together, and I can remember getting insomnia because we would get into bed, go to sleep and be there, and he would fall asleep. And I can just remember being in bed, feeling so alone, like just wanting to be held and feel loved, and that not coming.
That's interesting. Like, a lot of people would think that, like, because you had a partner, like, well, how can you feel lonely? You've got someone, you're in bed with someone. Mm. Like, did anything trigger that, do you think, that time?
God, this is incredibly personal. I felt really undesired by them, and I felt really unwanted and felt really unloved. And that eroded my self-confidence.
Yeah.
And as someone who is someone who doesn't naturally have the highest self-confidence, despite how I project.
Yeah, fair.
Being in a relationship with somebody who I felt like actually they didn't really want me, I put my hands up in a really shameless way. That was when I actually made an Instagram account and started like to occasionally post some thirsty pictures. Because I needed a type of validation and attention that I wasn't getting.
Overcoming that relationship, I guess you broke up with that person. So how did you overcome that part of your life, like after breaking up, perhaps?
Yeah. Well, I actually broke up with the toxic best friend and the boyfriend almost at the same time.
Okay.
Which was a big, like, whew, that was a clean break. But I think you have to be very energy. The energy that we have is limited. It's a limited resource.
100%.
And you have to be really sensible about where you invest that energy. And now my ex-boyfriend, he's a lovely, lovely person. So none of this is his fault at all. We just were sadly not compatible as two people in a relationship. And I cannot fault him in the slightest. We were just in a toxic situation, sadly. And so I had to recognize that, and I had to get myself out of that situation. And yeah, and I used Instagram thirstily because
I love that word, thirstily.
I mean, I totally was at first when
that's honest, man.
I know, and I recognized at the time what I was doing, and I was using Instagram as almost as a Red Bull. Like, I think the analogy that I could make to help people understand, I'm not an outrageous, like, narcissist. What it was almost like I hadn't slept and I needed to keep on going. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I was so tired and just couldn't sleep. So I used Red Bull and coffee for that caffeine boost. That caffeine boost came from Instagram of people going, oh my God, look at you.
Because the endorphins, when you got those likes in the comments, the endorphins, they were like, ah! They just burst.
Yeah. And I needed that, like, that cheap, dirty hit of it. Fortunately.
Sorry, I love the way you say that.
Well, because you've got to recognize, like, for real, man. Instagram likes, they are a cheap, quick hit.
For real.
They are not going to sustain you forever. That is not nutrition.
Having such a large following on a platform like Instagram, do you feel a responsibility to be open about your battles with loneliness or just mental health in general?
I feel a responsibility to be honest about my mental health and how I feel, because I don't want to be a false trigger for somebody else, and I don't want to make them feel worse by misrepresenting my life as being better than it is. That being said, when I'm deep in a bad place, I feel too vulnerable to actually talk about it then, and so I have to go into self-preservation mode. And so actually, my self-preservation is come offline, don't engage with it, take the time to withdraw from social media, connect with real people and have real interaction, and then come back online and talk about it. In fact, I posted over the Easter Bank holiday saying, look, I've been feeling really shit recently. I'm sorry that I wasn't able to talk about it at the time. I was fighting demons. I was too vulnerable, but now I'm going to be honest. The response from people saying, thank you for saying this. I've really felt like that. I thought I was alone. Made me so relieved to say it and know that I had done the right thing.
So, mainly with like gay men, I know that gay men use dating apps quite a lot, like hookup apps as well. What, like, do in your experience, do you find that you or your friends have used an app, a dating app for loneliness? Like when you feel lonely, do you go on there and like try and find someone to get like a full sense of like human connection?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think I was going to couch this in saying, I think that probably a lot of gay men, but you know what? I'm going to be a big boy. I'm going to say, yeah, at times when I have felt lonely, I have had sex with people that I probably didn't necessarily like, just so I wouldn't feel lonely. And it's made me feel awful afterwards. Now, that's not slut shaming. I can remember, I'll tell you this story.
Let's hear the story.
There was a point when I didn't want to sleep alone.
I hate sleeping alone as well.
Yeah, I felt low. And there was a night when I just didn't want to sleep alone. And fortunately, I've got two really good friends who, they recognize this, and we're sleepover buddies, and we'll watch some Netflix and we'll go to sleep when someone needs it. It's great. But neither of them were free and I didn't know what to do. I ended up sleeping with somebody, well, having sex with somebody, because I didn't want to be alone. And then as soon as they came, they left. So either I'm crap in bed or they actually just weren't looking for that intimacy. Yeah. And it was that intimacy that I really needed.
So you didn't get it anyway?
No.
Oh, that's so sad.
Didn't even get what I wanted. And this is not slut shaming, like sleep with as many people as you want, but I know for me, and I think I see it in a lot of other people, I'm not going to speak to it for anybody else, but in my behavior, I know that when I felt my lowest, I've also probably used sexual connection as a bandage when I've really wanted proper human connection.
Yeah.
And so I guess...
I don't think you're alone in that. Like, I think people do that quite, I think people do that more often than we think. Because like that, however long, like, I don't know how long certain people have sex for, that time is like, in that moment, you're like, this is something, like, I'm like, this is at least something.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Which is better than nothing for some people.
And especially when you don't think you might, especially when your demons are telling you that you're not actually deserving anything
100%,
more.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. So yeah, you're not alone. I don't think you're alone in that at all. But yeah.
So I guess, yeah, I would say that if other people are listening to this and...
They should be. I don't want it to just be if other people... someone should be listening to this.
Oh God, my mum will be listening to this. Mum, just ignore what you just heard. I guess what I would say to anybody who is listening to this and has perhaps... self-identified and recognized what I'm talking about when I talk about lonely sex, question why you're doing it. If you're having sex with somebody and you're going over to theirs, you're inviting them over because you really want to, because you really like them, because it's gonna be really hot, do it. Have all the crazy sex that you want. But if you're doing it because you just don't want to face being alone, I don't think that's the answer. I haven't found it to be the answer, and I felt worse after.
Thanks, Lex. That was really interesting. So now we're going to wrap up, but As always, we want you to take what we've discussed here and do something with it. So from research, the words that Natasha said about Switchboard and interviewing many people across season one, here are our starter ways for queer people to combat loneliness. It's action that we can all take now. Number one, talk. Take the step and speak to the people around you. It's hard and it can feel really uncomfortable, but like everything, the more you do it, the easier it becomes.
Number two, engage. Be proactive in your life and look for ways to reconnect. These could be community groups, activities, sports clubs, whatever you're interested in. Just a quick Google of LGBT plus your location and plus what you're interested in. It will start to show you pointers. You can also listen back to our Finding Your Community episode from season one for examples of how other people have done it.
Number three, remember that there are services out there to support you, Switchboard being one of them. If you're an older LGBT plus person, Open Doors is a charity dedicated to fighting loneliness amongst people over 30. They run activity sessions, group outings, cinema nights, as well as befriending services that match people up.
Number four, volunteer. Building on Chris's point, what are you doing to give back? Becoming part of something bigger than yourself is a wonderful way to feel a real, true sense of purpose, achievement, and belonging. I get so much from the volunteering work that I do and have made some really wonderful lasting connections. There are many brilliant charities that need support. So again, think of something that is of interest to you and look for something in your local area. Number five, remember that what you're seeing online is distorted. You're seeing a small, very curated snapshot of somebody's life where everybody looks like they're always socializing and having the best time. If you're in a vulnerable place, seeing those posts will only make you feel worse. Put down the phone, close the apps, connect in real life.
And if you're not suffering from loneliness or isolation, then why not check in on a friend, someone that you haven't heard from in a while? And just like Tash said, just a quick message to say, hey, thinking of you, can really change someone's day. Thank you so much for joining us for this special edition of Community. We'll be back very, very soon with season two. So don't forget to connect with us on socials for details of our upcoming live events. We're at Community Pod on all social media platforms and use our hashtag Community Pod, QMMUNITYPOD, or get in touch with us by emailing us at communitypod@gmail.com.
By now, you know where to find us. You know how podcasts work. But to your friends, spread the word and spread the love. Share Community, and please, if you have a moment, rate us on Apple Podcasts and leave a lovely little review. It helps other people find us. So we'll see you very soon, but not before we thank our super producers, Kevin Morofsky and Effie Theos. Speak to you soon, my loves. Bye. Is this still recording?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So we're going from, in this episode, Lex and I. Oh! So this is what I'm going to say.
Oh my God, Lex.
I'm trying to be helpful.
Yeah, but you just do it. Clap. Like you did.
Show me their profile after. I'm so nosy.
I'm not going to name and shame because that's rude.
But you can tell me.
Yeah. Okay. I'll show you after, bitch.
Thank you.
You're such a messy bitch who loves drama.
I live for drama.
Trigger that for somebody else. Sorry, I just burped. I'm going to say that again. I'm really sorry for just burping in your ear, Effie and Kevin.
We did a podcast.
We did.
Oh, you guys.
Oh, I've also got a walnuts.
If you don't like nuts, you know. That's why.
You don't like nuts?
No, I don't like nuts.
Oh, nuts.
Nuts.